I invite you now to turn together to the Word of God. Scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke in chapter 2, starting at verse 8 through 12 and also 25 through 32. This is the Word of God. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And angels of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servants in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel." May God be praised in the reading and also in the obeying of his word.
Let's pray before we enter into the word. Lord God, we are so thankful for this beautiful morning where we can celebrate the light that comes from you, the light that comes in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your grace in our lives. We pray, God, that you would show us that you are a faithful God, faithful to keep your promises. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us in our unique and individual experiences, but speak to us as a church, as a whole, as your body, that we may go out from this world and be faithful people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, before I get into the message, I just want to say thank you to all the people who pray for me when I'm preaching. I learned not too long ago that even some of our young children are praying for me. One of them told me that, "Pastor Sam, I pray that you tell more jokes and you're more funny." So I don't have many jokes in here, so I'm really sorry. You have to pray harder, I think. Okay. And one other thing I wanted to say is last night I encountered someone. This is a little more serious, but I encountered someone who didn't have a home, and in case you haven't noticed, it's very cold lately. So if anyone has like warm blankets or just warm clothing, feel free to pass it on to me. I would be more than happy to give it to some people who live around where I live. But also consider, if you see someone in need, I would hate to have any of my friends or any of the children here being cold. If there's a way that we can just help them and extend mercy to them, I just want to encourage you to really think about that. This is a time that we want to share the love and the joy that we feel here today. We don't want to just keep it in here. Amen? Amen. All right. So I am actually finishing my series on Christmas. I've been preaching over the past couple of weeks about why Christmas is important. And today, I want to talk about the great truth of Christmas is this, is that God keeps his promises. I think nobody likes to wait. Is there anyone in here who really enjoys waiting? Are you like, "Wow, I love waiting for the bus. I love how it's late. I love how the Red Line Metro is always late. It's wonderful." The only thing that makes waiting bearable is the fact that you know that your patience will be rewarded. The only way that your children screaming in the back will finally make it through that trip is that they know at the end of it is an amusement park. At the end of it is McDonald's. At the end of it is something exciting. But unfortunately, we live in a world with many broken promises. Many people have great ideas and expectations of how things should be, but we soon realize that many of us do not have the power to come through with our promises. At a young age, I remember I was promised a gift. You know, I was really upset in the store. I really wanted this toy for a gift. And my parents said, yes, 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 we'll get it for you later. But it never came. And often I think about that experience, thinking about how often have we had promises from our loved ones about things that they would do for us in the future, but they were unable to keep it. Also, have we even made promises to ourselves to fulfill a promise, only to discover that we're unable to keep it? In our world today, many are discouraged from broken promises from our leaders, from our families, from our friends, and especially ourselves. It's for this time that Christmas can be a discouraging time for many. It's a time of gifts and good cheer for some, but for some, it's a time of sadness. In fact, some churches nowadays offer an alternative, what they call a blue Christmas service, for those who find Christmas as a time of grieving because they realize that their loved one is no longer with them, or it's a painful reminder that Christmas is not always a good time of cheer, that people break their promises on Christmas. And sometimes when you come into churches with so much cheer and singing, it almost might be obnoxious to those who are struggling with God when they hear about the joy of Christmas. But today I want to encourage you to think differently about Christmas. Christmas is not a time for only happy people. Let's look at Christmas in a new way. We read in Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 12, that the angel has come with exciting news. Do not be afraid, it says. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. You know, indeed, it's very amazing that an angel has come and said something. I would think that's the good news. That's the amazing thing. An angel came to me. But you know what? This is not the really exciting part of the news. What is the real exciting part of the news for these people? The exciting part is that at long last, God has come through with his promise. You see, you need to understand a little bit of the background of the people who are listening to this message. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, in the time of the prophet Isaiah, God's people were very broken and discouraged. They had turned away from God, and as a result, they lost their entire kingdom. They were forced to live under oppression from their enemies, and they lived in exile. They had no home. They lost the temple, which for them symbolized the presence of God. They basically lost everything. Many of them felt like God had left them. How could anything get better than this? We have hit rock bottom. Have you ever struggled with a great discouragement and it feels like you've been abandoned by God and by the people who love you? How do you continue on? And the only way you can go on is that you have the strength because of hope. And for the Israelites in this time of exile, hope came in the voice of a prophet Isaiah, who said something very powerful in Isaiah chapter 9. Starting at verse 2 to 7, it says this. The people walking in darkness, and this is the Israelites, have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And this is the great thing about Christmas. God is saying to us, in the midst of our darkness, of our discouragement, God is sending a vision of his light into our lives. Remember, the people who are reading this in Isaiah, they haven't seen the joy. They're in really difficult times. This is not a message for happy people. This is a message for broken people, that God has given hope. I don't know if you remember a couple of months ago, but I had the privilege of preaching on All Saints Day. And I was sharing that the Christian practice of All Saints Day actually started from a pagan practice where people would observe the autumnal equinox. And what that is, it's a time of sunlight, when the sunlight begins to fade. From that point onwards, that's why we start autumn, is when every day the days of light will begin to fade. And so what the Christians did was they took this practice and they made it Christian, and they realized this is a time to remember all of the saints together. We look at the coming days where darkness will grow, and we take courage. We remember the faith of the people beside us, the faith of the people before us, the faith of people after us, all the saints. We are going to face the darkening days with the hope of Christ. And so some people might wonder, why do we have Christmas on December 25th? When some scholars actually think, you know, I don't think Jesus was born in December. We have all these images of snow and all of these things about December and Jesus, but there's not really a lot of biblical information for that. Why did we choose December 25th? We chose this day because this is actually the darkest time of the year. This is what we call the winter solstice. This is the time when the darkness is at its longest point in the year. We declare Christ's birth at the winter solstice because we say the darkness is not going to continue and overtake us all. But the darkness is now, its time has come to an end. From this day forward, every day we will have more sunlight. We will have more light shining through our lives. In the darkness of our lives, we will wait and see more and more light until the full light of day comes. When we see the fullness of the light of day, and do you know what day that is? That's Easter. That is the spring equinox. You see, Christmas is a message for those who are going through the darkest time of the year, for those who are struggling, for those who are discouraged. It is for those who are in the time of exile, for the Israelites who felt like the day was too dark. And the good news of Christmas is this, and in the midst of your darkness, God has heard your prayers. In the midst of the darkness, you might be wondering, is God going to accomplish what he promised? Christmas tells us in Luke chapter 2, it is a resounding yes. That is why we read in verse 25 to 32, when Simeon, the prophet, has been waiting for the promise of God all of these years, now an old man, he responds with such joy. And we read later on in the chapter, another prophet, Anna, waiting for the promises of God. Christmas is a time to remember that God keeps his promise. He does not leave us alone in the darkness. God might not answer in a time that is convenient to our timing, but God does answer. Time and time again, we see that the Bible reveals to us stories of people trying to push their own plans, their own timelines, and their own promises, only to end in disappointment. But waiting on God is not a passive indifference. It is choosing to be obedient and faithful, even though times are discouraging. Christmas is a time to remember also that we need to keep our promises through faithfulness. It is through the faithful prayers of people like the prophet Simeon and Anna that God saw the promises, that they saw the promises of God fulfilled. It is those who continue to press on and not be discouraged when all around them is darkness. It is those people who will see the truth of Christmas. It is those who give love and pursue justice faithfully who will finally see the fulfillment of love, peace, and justice that was promised from God. I remember when I was young, I heard this old traditional song, and it would sing over and over again, God is always on time. Even though it's not the time that we wanted, even though it's not convenient to us, God is always on time. Today, I want to encourage us, let us celebrate Christmas as a constant reminder that God is faithful to keep his promise. He will not leave us in the darkness forever. Christmas is a sign that the light has come. God has answered his promise. Watch how each day from here forward, we will see more and more light shine through our lives. Let us use this as a time to rededicate our commitment to Christ as we wait upon him in the difficult challenges that we face in this year and in the year to come. And for those of us who have maybe not been to church in a while, maybe thought that the message of God doesn't really relate to you, I want to encourage you today that you don't have to suffer in your darkness alone. Christ has come into the world to save you from your darkness and to bring light to you. Turn from the things that you have been doing in the past and turn to God and watch how the light of Christmas will flow into your life and radiate out into the world. Merry Christmas, everyone. God is faithful. Amen. Let us pray.
Father, we give you thanks because you always keep your promises in your own ways, according to your own time. We thank you, O Lord, that you never lost sight of your people. Lord, we thank you for the greatest promise you have given to us, that is Jesus Christ coming into the world to demonstrate your love for a lost, hurting, and broken world. We thank you, Father God, because you so loved us, so that we can also learn to know who you are and to love you and to walk with you for the rest of our lives. Lord, we pray that you will reveal more and more of yourself to us in these closing weeks of December, but also in the coming year. We thank you, O Lord, that we have your promises to close out 2010, and we also have your abundant promises to begin 2011. Father, we pray that you would help us to be faithful. Help us, Father God, to always be a people of hope, for you have given us wonderful promises and encouragement in your word. Lord, make this church more and more about you. Make each and every one of us fall in love every day with you. And make your people, Father God, a people of joy. Thank you, O Lord, for you have kept your promises, and you are going to keep all your promises given to us in scriptures. And we look forward to the day when we shall see Jesus face to face in all his power and splendor. Thank you, O Lord, and help us to be faithful, proclaiming the message of Jesus' coming. In his name we pray. Amen.